Yes, good low. Hello, and welcome to Demystifying Detection Dogs with MD Dogs. I'm the founder of MD Dogs, Libby Rockaway, and I'm here with my co-host, Maggie Kudla, owner of Sit, Stay, Lex.
Hi, I'm excited to jump in and discuss all things diabetic alert dog. Go ahead and grab a drink because we can talk about dogs for hours. Literally.
I love that.
For today, we're going to talk about how to prepare your pet dog for your future service dog. There are things that we don't want to pass along to our service dogs that our pet dogs do that are just sometimes inappropriate. So I'll have Libby go over the different sections that we created to be like, hey, your dog can do this. Your pet dog can, but your service dog can, etc. So Libby, jump in.
Cool. Yeah. So we came up with three categories as we were loosely discussing this before we started. And the first one is just flat out your existing dog cannot do. And I think typically people get more concerned about this situation than almost we are, just in general of like, oh my goodness, my pet dog has to be picture perfect if I'm going to train a service dog or bring a service dog home. And that's great to kind of think about, but they don't have to be picture perfect because they're not the service dog. But there are things that like they can't do. And then there's things that they can do, but they need to be managed so that the service dog or service dog in training doesn't pick it up. And there's things that the existing dog can do and you don't have to worry about it because dogs just don't learn that way. They don't necessarily model everything. They mm-hmm. only model certain things. Mm-hmm. So I think we're just going to jump in and start giving almost a breakdown of the things that came to our mind of in each of those categories, what are essentially the things you need to worry about and you need to fix before you start training a service dog and bringing a new dog home, and what are the things that you don't need to stress about because there's enough stressful things in the service dog world.
Yeah, there's things that you could manage.
Yeah.
Like Melly's not a perfect angel, my personal pet dog, so...
Yeah,
and it's fine. She's not going to pass it along. I guess we'll start with like the hard no-nos of the pet dog.
So. Jump to the negative stuff first.
Yeah, we'll start negative. Sorry, guys. I think my, and I, you agree on this, biggest pet peeve, or not pet peeve, the biggest no-no is no dog aggressive dogs mm-hmm. In the sense that it's like more of a safety thing.
Yeah.
Yep. It's really expensive to get a dog to be service dog level and a lot of time. Mm-hmm. And that risk to me is, I just wouldn't risk it. If I had an aggressive dog in my home, I wouldn't be bringing my service dogs in training into my house.
No. You're going to spend a lot of money and a lot of time on a service dog in training. That is already a big risk. And so having a dog aggressive dog in the home is just... it's kind of asking for trouble.
Yeah.
And it's not really fair to bring in another dog anyways in that scenario where their home environment isn't particularly safe. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to spend, I mean, when it's all said and done, probably, I don't know, even with self-training, like $6,000 to $10,000 on this thing, you don't need to be playing around with a dog in the home who's already dog aggressive.
Yeah. And even like, I don't work with aggressive dogs, but one of my... it's weird to even call her a coworker because she's way beyond me. She works with aggressive dogs frequently, and the lifestyle of a dog aggressive dog living with another dog is a crate and rotate.
Yeah.
And while that can work, whereas mm-hmm. they never interact, it's not really fair to,
mm-hmm.
I would say, the service dog of being crated exceptional, excessive amount of hours.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's just not, I would probably consider rehoming or something if I was at the state where I'm like, I need a service dog to mm-hmm. mitigate my disability. I would find a different situation for my aggressive dog.
Yeah. And this is kind of the start of, with training a service dog, you do have to make a lot of tough calls.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that is part of it. There are lots of benefits to self-training, but it doesn't eliminate the tough calls you have to make.
Mm-hmm.
And even one of my first diabetic alert dogs that I placed, I did not require them to rehome their dog, but they actually opted to mm-hmm. anyways, just to make sure that the service dog like had the best chance of success and like had the easiest transition.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't require that, but they were like, you know what? We love him, but a service dog for our kid is more important.
Yeah. And the other dog can go on to be loved, by a family and everything.
Exactly.
And I do want to point out, dog aggressive dog. I feel like I want to expand on that.
I was going to say that. Yeah,
because I'm because we have a topic later on that where it is technically maybe a dog that has a little bit of aggression in certain situations. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of a dog aggressive dog that is like puts holes in dogs for, mm-hmm. you know, really no reason, or it's something that would happen frequently in the sense that it wouldn't be easily managed. I'm basically thinking of a dog that has almost like a mental illness in the sense that it causes aggression, versus something that would be like a one-off like thing that could easily be managed. I'm speaking to resource guarding, which we'll talk about later, but I'm thinking of a dog that's like, I don't trust this dog.
Yeah.
If I don't trust a dog to be left alone with, if I don't trust, like, let's say Melly, if I didn't trust Melly to be left alone with one of my service dogs in training for 30 minutes, I don't think I would never have a service dog in training around Melly.
Yeah.
Melly would be quote unquote rehomed.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's kind of like more of
I think that's a good differentiation. And the other one is, I would differentiate is, reactivity. So like if you go on a walk and your dog sees another dog at a distance and they're reactive, that can often be caused from excitement and the presence of being on a leash and all sorts of things. But if you let them off leash in an environment that is not on a walk, then they're not reactive. That doesn't count as an aggressive dog.
Mm-hmm.
This is, we're really talking about dogs that like intend to do harm. They're not overexcited without an outlet or anything like that. So if your dog, you know, if you're not sure, then get a trainer to help evaluate and they can probably tell you. But don't immediately jump to like, oh my goodness, we have to get rid of our dog because he barks at other dogs when on the leash.
Exactly.
But yeah, it's a good one. Second up is house training. Number one, I just think all dogs should be house trained and I will die on that hill.
Yep.
but you cannot expect, you know, especially bringing in a new puppy, or a new dog from a shelter that's not house trained. You can't expect to bring them into your home. And learn to be house trained if another dog is eliminating in the house.
Yeah.
So
it's just, you know, you take your dog out on a walk, you know, they're, you know, ones that pee on things or, you know, they're going to pee in your house.
Yep.
Exactly. Doesn't make it harder. Dogs have really good noses. That's why we love them for service dog work.
Yep.
service work because they smell and they're more likely to eliminate. And yeah, if I didn't have a dog's not potty trained, I wouldn't get, I would rehome it or fix the training before getting, your service dog in training.
Yeah. Because also, legally, service dogs have to be house trained before they can go in public.
Yep.
So you're going to be perpetually not going in public in order to follow laws if you can't get them house trained.
Yeah.
So that's an easy one.
Yep. Another big no-no, in my opinion, is barking. And I'm thinking of barking, like, in the home yard of just, like, barking all the time. Like they see people walk by their house, they see dogs walking by and they just bark and bark.
They
and
hear
bark.
Noises.
They hear noises and they just bark. And it's not just like a quick like bark once or twice. It's like a we're barking. Because that's just something you can just pass on to your service dog in training.
Yeah. That's honestly one of the biggest things I have found pass on. And just because it's kind of almost like this pack mentality of, oh, they're barking, so I should bark. And then the older dog is basically teaching the service dog in training what to be triggered by, because there's a trigger and then older dog barks and then younger dog barks because older dog is barking. And then pretty soon, just like any other training, the younger dog says, oh, there's a trigger. We should start barking. And it can cause mayhem and frustration. So that is one that I, try and eliminate, you know, as much as possible. But like Maggie said, like, you know, it's not the dog barked once because it startled. You know, once or twice is fine. But if, you know, you're doing something and your dog is just barking in the background, that's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just an incessant, like it's just incessantly barking is really more of what I'm looking at. Or it's just like, it's also just hard for the other dog to live with.
Yeah.
It's
exhausting.
Because they're not allowed to join in on the fun of barking or whatever it may be. And it just... It's a very self-rewarding behavior, and it's hard to stop it once it starts.
Exactly. And especially because that is one that can be generalized to public environments. So if you think about it, older dog barks at a trigger, teaches younger dog about said trigger, and then younger dog is out in public and hears that trigger and says, oh, I should bark at that. So it's not just a matter of like, oh, barking in the home. I personally find it incredibly irritating and cannot handle it. Mm-hmm. But it's actually that might transfer over to being in public and when vested, and then mm-hmm. you're flunking your service dog ultimately because your older dog barked at home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
So, okay, we're just negative Nancy's over
negative
here.
Negative Nancy's. I guess next one we have is digging. This would be for like people that have a backyard mm-hmm. and I find it's also just for cleanliness purposes. If you're taking a service dog everywhere, they're going to be all muddy.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Let's say you don't care about holes in your yard. Mm-hmm. I find it's just super reinforcing. If another dog's digging, they're just going to join in on the fun.
Yeah. I view this one as like a convenience/annoyance one where mm-hmm. I'm not going to flunk a dog because they dig in my backyard, mm-hmm. but it's much better if you can make sure that your current dog doesn't dig because the younger one will pick up on it.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, they get dirty and it's not ideal. Yeah. But I do have one now that digs and I'm not flunking her because of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Digging's, you can deal with it, I guess, if you want, but I personally don't want to deal with it.
I don't want to deal with it. Mm-hmm. What's up next? High levels of fear and anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
That is one that is pretty big and important and can, be shared across dogs.
Yeah.
And we have a note on here, primarily separation anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is like severe levels of separation anxiety.
Yeah. Like they're ripping down the house and shredding it apart.
Yeah.
Because
chewing on door frames.
Yes. And like holes in walls mm-hmm. and, you know, being really, like their anxiety is so intense that they're literally trying to escape. And harming themselves mm-hmm. in the process. This is not like, oh, my dog barks a little bit and whines, is a little sad.
Yeah.
This is like, if you leave your puppy for the first time and you have a dog with separation anxiety and they're screaming mm-hmm. and just causing the household to just be so stressed every time you leave, it can pass on to other dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So want to make sure you get that kind of figured out before you bring home a puppy.
Mm-hmm.
Or an adult service dog in training.
Either way. And then we have reactivity. So this is something that as long as it's managed, mm-hmm. It can be okay. Mm-hmm. I would wonder about the underlying issues that, you know, reactive dogs do have.
Yeah.
That could pass on to the puppy, because reactivity is just a dog that has lack of impulse control or large fear of things. So they bark and lunge about, you know, things. Mm-hmm. I would only be okay with having a reactive dog with my service dog if the reactivity is outside of the home and I can walk the dog separately. So say mm-hmm. I have a dog that barks at other dogs on walks. As long as the service dog isn't with that dog, I don't really care how poorly
mm-hmm.
your dog acts, your pet dog, as long as the young dog is not experiencing it, or the service dog is not experiencing it.
Yeah. You're almost kind of protecting your service dog from learning that behavior.
Yeah.
So it just means you'll walk twice as far.
Yes.
They both have to go on walks.
Yeah. No, my Aussie, she was really intense reactive. And she's fine now, but, I don't walk my service dogs
mm-hmm.
with her unless I'm handling her and someone else is actually handling my, service dog and trainer, or vice versa.
Yeah.
Because she just needs that attention and that management. Yeah. Especially when she was a young heathen.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as it's like managed, I'm fine. Mm-hmm. But whenever you're walking two dogs, it's hard enough with in general. Yeah. It takes a really good skill set to walk two dogs at the same time that are even well behaved.
Yeah.
It's not when you have like an issue.
The process. Well, yeah. I mean, I just did this literally yesterday when I saw you at the Arboretum.
Mm-hmm.
I was debating what dogs to take. Because I have three right now, and I consciously decided that Fig and Gander were not going to go together, because Fig, I wouldn't call her reactive, but she will bark at people in the distance, like just an underlying like little woof,
mm-hmm.
Or if she hears a weird sound. So usually 3 to 4 times a walk, I get from her like just a little woof or two under her breath. And I was like, I don't want Gander to pick up on that.
Yeah.
So I walked Fig with Birdie, because Birdie doesn't care.
Yeah, Birdie doesn't care.
And so then I could, and also because Birdie's easy, you know, I don't have to manage anything for her. She's just on a mission.
Yeah.
But even with that, like, Fig is, what, 13 months and Gander is 8 months or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't want Gander picking up on Fig's bad behavior, essentially.
I literally, whenever you posted the second walk with Gander, I was like, oh, Libby didn't want Fig to transfer things exactly. to Gander was my first thought.
Yep. No, I was like, Gander is not reactive in the slightest. He's a calm boy.
Yeah.
And I need to keep it that way.
And also, like, Birdie going with Fig is a good, setting a good example for Fig of like, hey, the older dog in the house doesn't care about XYZ. So that's a way you can use your non-reactive dog to, you know, make confidence.
Yeah.
Okay.
We got a cruise.
Next is existing dog can do, but needs to be managed basically. So the service dog and training doesn't pick up on it. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by manage is just you manage the environment, so well that behavior doesn't present in front of the younger dog. So like the reactivity, it's fine if your dog has it, as long as your dog, your service dog in training is not experiencing it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let you take the first.
Yeah. The first one here is resource guarding. So if your current dog, you know, guards bones or their food bowl or something like that, it's not a matter of, oh my goodness, I have to get rid of this dog. Because obviously we're not trying to tell you, you have to get rid of your dogs. That's not the goal here, but we also don't want a new dog to come in and say, oh goodness, you know, when I approach and I, you know, want something of theirs, the response is to bare my teeth and to growl and snap.
Mm-hmm.
So the best thing is just to prevent that from ever being an issue, which in general is probably a good idea.
Yeah.
If we're being honest. You know, so feed dogs separately. My dogs all get fed in their crates.
Mm-hmm.
Like no ifs, ands, or buts.
Yeah.
Everybody goes in their crate, the door gets closed, and I never have any issues with resource guarding.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, bones and things like that, you always make sure there's like twice as many as the number of dogs in the house.
Mm-hmm.
So that there's no reason to resource guard.
Yeah.
But if it's like a serious resource guarder, then you might have to consider, you know, other things of, it's a case by case, right?
Yeah. I had a client a few months ago came in for a consultation and they had a puppy and they had two older dogs in the house and they brought the puppy in. The puppy like was like, yay, saying hi. Mm-hmm. The puppy went near a bone. Within 5 minutes of this, less than 5 minutes of this puppy meeting these new dogs, it got pinned to the ground.
Oh goodness.
Got a puncture in its ear.
Oh.
And then the puppy spent the next 2 weeks of his life hiding from the other dogs.
Oh goodness.
And the other dog is not inherently aggressive in the sense that like it was over the specific bone that they just didn't pick up because the dog got it out whenever they were gone and getting the puppy or whatever.
Yeah.
And then the puppy was very sad. Yeah. And I would say the puppy
safety thing.
The puppy, I know him still now and he's still just not the most confident, whether I don't know if it's because of that, but I assume around dogs he's just a little bit like, I don't know if the new dog's gonna be me.
Yeah, that's fair.
So just keep that in mind.
Yep. So lots of management
of
keeping dogs separate. And talk to a professional.
Yes, talk to a professional. If your dog has resource guarding, I would give it to a professional to assess whether it's okay and easily managed in order to keep your puppy safe or your service dog and training safe. Next, scare dogs of people coming in. So if your dog is, your pet dog is fearful of people, that'll translate to your young dog, your young service dog in training. Melly has, my Australian Shepherd, who's my sport pet dog, she has a fear of people. And while it's very, 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 very mild now, it was quite intense whenever she was younger. If I have any people that come into my house, even now, even though she's quite a gem now, but I'll still put her in a different room or in her crate so that she doesn't show any wariness towards people so that my service dog and trainee can't see it. Because I don't want her to teach a puppy that, oh, someone came in and now we have slinky behavior or we have a little woof, like woof, and then moving away from people and showing that people walking in the house are scary. And so I just manage it. I just pop, you know, when I know a stranger's coming over, she gets popped in, you know, the bedroom, the crate, and call it a day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easily managed.
Yeah.
But I'm very particular about not letting any of that bad habit pass on to anybody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the last one here is just kind of a nice to have, but it's a whole lot easier to teach a recall if your older dog knows it. That way, if you're trying to get like a really reliable recall, which a service dog should have, you know, if they're playing with another dog and you recall them, if they both come back, that's a whole lot easier than if, you know, your older dog doesn't actually have a good recall.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're expecting the younger dog to break off from play to come back.
Yeah.
So this is one where I have found like social learning can be really beneficial if mm-hmm. your older dog knows a good recall, because then the younger one just learns, oh, we stop playing when we get called, and then we go get cookies and then we go play again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a... Yeah, purely a nice to have.
Yeah, I think Cosmo has a really nice recall because of Melly.
Exactly.
And then agility. I actually would bring Cosmo out and do agility with Melly, and Cosmo mm-hmm. just kind of like followed her around.
Uh-huh.
And then I actually did my first session with Cosmo, and he was able to do like a curve long tumble, like session one, just he would just like follow Melly around.
Yeah, okay, cool.
I think it's just, you know, teaches them like, oh, this is an easy, fun, happy, confident thing that mm-hmm. you can do. Recalling Speedy, all that jazz.
Yeah,
that's good.
Awesome. Next up is the more fun one, where basically your existing dog can do it. It's not going to break your dog. You just have to have different standards for your service dog. So this just means you have to be aware that, like, hey, my new dog that I'm going to be training to a much higher level can't do this, mm-hmm. but you don't need to fix anything about your current dog. And mostly you need to communicate this to the people in your house. So whoever lives with you and whoever lives with this dog
mm-hmm.
to say, this dog has these rules and this dog has these rules, and they are different. Sometimes for the sake of the people in your home, it's easier for everybody to have the same rules.
yeah.
Like for all the dogs to have the exact same rules. Kind of depends on how cooperative your family members are.
Yeah, that is 100% most of my training issues. I'm a marriage therapist, okay, dog trainer.
Exactly. You want to just kind of cruise through these ones?
Yeah. Jumping. My Aussie will put her paws on me and say hi and jump a little bit, politely, but she doesn't pass that along to service dogs in training because I don't reward them. And they work on jumping.
Yeah.
That's an easy one. Furniture.
Furniture is an easy one. People feel guilty about this one if a pet dog is allowed up, but a service dog isn't. But you can absolutely do that. You know, they're animals, they're fine.
To be quite honest. I've had tons that Melly can get on furniture and they
exactly
can't.
Yeah.
And so. they're sad, like, the, you know, for like 30 seconds. Yeah. And then they're like, oh, okay.
Okay.
I have toys on the ground.
Exactly. Fine. So sometimes it can kind of be tough if like the two dogs are playing and then the one jumps on furniture and then the newbie will kind of try and jump on furniture. So you're going to have to maintain those boundaries pretty well.
Yes.
But it's totally doable. But also, no furniture isn't like a service dog rule either.
No.
So that's up to you.
Yeah.
That's just if you don't want them on furniture.
Yeah. Yeah, my last one, they would play and Melly would jump on the couch. Second to last one. Cosmo was allowed on furniture. I didn't let him. If Melly was like zooming around and like jumped on the couch, like when they were playing, Double would jump up there. But honestly, after just a few times of being like, you know, off Double, like knock it off. And then he was like, then he started learning to play where he keep his... is self on the ground and while she was on the couch. They learn, they adapt.
They learn. Yep.
Begging. My Aussie, I get her human scraps, so she begs.
Yeah.
She stares. She just stares. Begging doesn't bother me to an extent because I can tell my dog to go lay down and have her stop begging. I don't find it translates to the service dogs as long as I don't reward the begging.
Yeah.
So I don't give them treats or food whenever I am eating or cooking or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty easy.
Yeah. That's an easy one. And then the last one we have here is loose leash walking. So walking politely on a leash, pretty much your older dog can be terrible on a leash as long as you just don't walk them together. So you just have to walk them separate. If you try and walk them together, then you have to be okay with your service dog in training not walking politely, because that is one where I find that it is not fair to ask my service dog to walk in a heel if their buddy is out front.
Yeah.
Like, that's just not natural for them. I had somebody who had an existing dog in the home who pulled. And when I placed the dog, I was like, hey, you know, she's used to heeling on my left side and she can walk with a loose leash lovely. But if you're going to walk them together, she's allowed to walk out front.
Yeah.
And that's probably teaching bad behaviors, mm-hmm. but that's up to you. If you, you know, yeah, if you're okay with that, then I guess that's fine. Yeah. But typically I recommend just walking them separate.
Yeah. The only thing that I did it with Cosmo when he was baby, like mm-hmm. I put him in a harness.
Yeah.
And that meant that he could go out and mm-hmm. be in front of me. And then whenever he was in his other collars, he would walk out. So
give the context clues.
Context clues. Yeah. But mm-hmm. it's easiest just to not walk them together.
Yeah.
Do what you will with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the last category that I forgot we had on here is the totally fine category of your older dog can do it and your service dog can do it. And one of these is playing rough. They mm-hmm. can wrestle and play with each other as long as it's safe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, Melly and Cosmo have throwdown play sessions.
Yeah.
I think it's good. It's a good outlet mm-hmm. for them, you know, to play with each other.
Yep.
That's good. Chewing up toys.
Yeah. Destroying toys. It's a toy.
It's a toy.
Yep.
It's fine. It doesn't translate to them tearing up other things. Uh-huh. I think people think that, like, if your dog's allowed to chew up and tear up mm-hmm. certain things in the house, that they're going to do it with everything.
Yeah.
It's just not. This is not it.
No.
I find it actually decreases mm-hmm. issues if they have an outlet to yep. do their dog rip apart toy
exactly.
kind of behavior.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I have a giant toy basket behind me, like, with 100 toys in it that the dogs have free access to 24/7.
Yeah.
Whenever they're out. And they climb in it, they grab their toys, they destroy them. Sometimes I come out and there's like 20 toys strewn across. But I would much rather have 20 toys strewn across that they're destroying than 3 pairs of shoes that they're destroying.
Yes.
Yeah. And like they opt to do that because those toys are more fun and because they're supposed to do that.
Exactly.
Yeah. One that I just thought of that is not on this list, that I do think you need to fix, is like a must fix before you bring home a dog, is counter surfing / garbage, getting in the garbage.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you have a dog that gets in the garbage and they start finding prizes in there, and then the younger dog says, well, that looks fun, they're obviously going to join in. Can't expect them not to. And then they're going to start initiating it.
Yeah.
So,
that's a hard, yeah, that's anyways, a good one.
Just thought of that with the tearing things up.
But. Yeah, because if, a dog pulls things from the top of the counter and brings it mm-hmm. down, and then the service dog training gets to enjoy it, that's a bad...
That's just too reinforcing.
Yeah, food stealing. Mm-hmm. That's a bad one.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome.
I think that's it.
I think we're going to wrap it up, and we'll try and do the next one a little bit sooner here shortly, hopefully.
Libby has MD Dog... consultations.
That's true.
Available.
Yeah.
So if you go to the website, she's now a lot more, you know.
Quite available.
Quite available now with things. Yep. So if you have any questions more in depth, she can answer them.
That's right. Or if you have any more podcast ideas.
Yeah.
Thank you to the Instagram message of this podcast. I forget the exact handle here, but much appreciated. I'll send you a message. Because it's sometimes hard for us to come up with topics because mm-hmm. we kind of eat, breathe, and sleep this, and it's hard to know like what people actually want to hear about.
Yeah, exactly.
So feel free to send us a message on Instagram or Facebook, or there's an MD Dogs Facebook group, like MD Dogs Training Community. You can post it on there. But happy to basically chat and drink our beverages.
Yes.
While we maybe provide some help.
I love it. Okay. Cool.
Awesome. Okay. Till the next time.
Yep. All better. Thank you.